This is Ozarks at Large for Thursday, February 21st, 2013. I'm Kyle Callums.
I'm Christina Thomas. Support for Ozarks at Large comes in part from the University of Arkansas's Women's Giving Circle.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, the longest zip line in Arkansas, the possible effects of sequestration on the state, how small-town advocates are getting a boost from the Winthrop Rockefeller Foundation, and a preview of this weekend's Gospel Fest in Fort Smith.
First, a bill that would require voters in Arkansas to show a valid picture ID when casting a ballot is moving to House committee after the Senate passed it yesterday. Senator Brian King, a Republican from Green Forest, sponsored the bill. He says it will make voters more confident in the voting process.
We know that photo ID is an everyday part of life, that you have to use a photo ID to get on a plane, you have to use a photo ID to get a library card. It's just an everyday part of life. Even my daughter, when she was taking the entrance exams, college entrance exams, I had to present a photo ID even though the person that she went up to knew who she was.
Opponents of the law have said it will make voting harder for older and poor voters. Senator Linda Chesterfield, a Democrat from Little Rock, likened the legislation to constraints put on voting during the days of Jim Crow.
And I suggest to you today that this is a backdoor poll tax, because it's going to have to cost some money. And I find it disingenuous to say, well, we're just going to leave that to the Secretary of State's office.
The bill says IDs would be provided free to those who don't already have a valid government-issued ID. But the bill allocates no funding. King says the Secretary of State's office could provide the funds. The bill passed 23-12.
The state Senate has been sent a proposal that would give arrest and detention powers to campus police at private universities and colleges in Arkansas, something police on public campuses already have. The Senate Education Committee on Wednesday advanced a bill by Republican Representative Mark Bibiano of Searcy that would allow private campuses to maintain a law enforcement agency with arrest and detention powers. The House approved the bill earlier this week. Bibiano says the bill is about making campuses safer.
It's really about protection of students and those people that are on the campuses. Currently, they have no ability to detain or arrest somebody that's involved in a criminal activity.
There are 11 private colleges and universities in Arkansas. An attorney opposed to the measure said it would allow officers to mix roles between enforcing the law and enforcing a private campus's rules.
A new agreement between Arkansas and Oklahoma will produce a comprehensive study of phosphorus levels in the Illinois River watershed. Arkansas Attorney General Dustin McDaniel made the announcement yesterday. The states have been arguing about the river and phosphorus for years. Attorney General McDaniel says the agreement will eliminate the potential for costly litigation over Oklahoma's regulatory standards for phosphorus concentrations within the watershed. Arkansas officials have long said the Oklahoma standards are unattainable. The study may take as long as 3 years to be completed.
Many Arkansans have already started filing their tax returns online and by paper. Internal Revenue Service officials started processing returns a little late this year due to changes in legislation. Clay Sanford is a spokesman for the IRS in Arkansas, North Texas.
So far, though, refunds are going out fine. We find that 9 out of 10 taxpayers should expect an e-filed refund in 21 days or less if you select direct deposit.
Sanford says direct deposit is still the fastest way to receive a refund. He says if you file a paper return, it could take 4 to 6 weeks to get a Treasury check in the mail. However, with the e-file tax program and direct deposit, people can usually get a refund within 3 weeks. Deadline for filing taxes, April 15th.
Clouds should remain over the region tonight, with lows in the lower 20s in northwest Arkansas and the mid to upper 20s for much of the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow, partly sunny with highs from the mid-30s to lower 40s. And Friday night, cloudy and cold. Lows in the mid-teens in northwest Arkansas, mid-20s in the Arkansas River Valley. The Rural Community Alliance started out as Save Our Schools in 2003, in a fight to keep small school districts up and running. They gained national attention with the Save Our Post Office campaign January 2012, being published in the New York Times. The organization now has 55 chapters in rural communities scattered across Arkansas. The Winthrop Rockefeller Foundation recently awarded the group a $175,000 grant to help these societies thrive. RCA Executive Director Renee Carr is from a rural community. Her passion comes from personal experience.
Well, I grew up rural, and it's a way of life that we see attacked. And it really becomes personal when your own school is under threat of being consolidated or annexed. And that was the situation my own community was in back in 2004 and 2005. And we were able to mobilize and gain support from our receiving district to keep that from happening. And thankfully, we're still an open campus, kindergarten through 12th grade school with just over 200 students. And I'd like to see that be the case all over the state, that you have community schools where children can go, where parents have access because it's close, and they have a close relationship with their teachers.
Carr says that the health and vitality of the schools is reflected in the community, and vice versa. Part of that is the Community Revitalization Project, and how the Winthrop Rockefeller Foundation first got involved. Cherise West Scantleberry, president of the foundation, explains how this mission fits into their vision.
It is an organization that does its work in communities, in rural communities in Arkansas, with the express purpose of improving life chances in rural communities. So RCA facilitates grassroots-led community revitalization projects in pretty low-wealth, poor rural communities. They provide training to its members. They support youth development. They do advocacy. They do organizing campaigns. And the building of community is at the heart of the Winthrop Rockefeller Foundation's vision and mission.
She says that RCA is very important to the state, building resident capacity and youth leadership to address the challenges in small communities, as well as what is important to families and children in them.
And building that voice, actually building the leadership capacity, organizing that voice, ensuring that all people are heard, that they're educated on how they could influence how resources come into and out of their community. That is a vitally important role for an organization to play in Arkansas generally, and in rural communities specifically, where in rural communities you may not have an organization that is working to build schools, build communities, build leadership for things such as saving post offices.
Or how Title II monies are dispensed more equitably and fairly. Or ensuring that all parents understand and know test scores of their children's schools, and how they can help improve their education. Wes Scantleberry says that while there may be representation in the state, it isn't as narrowly focused as that RCA provides, like for low-wealth individuals, those that aren't intentionally sought out for their thoughts and opinions about what's going on in their areas. RCA engages its members
in a collaborative process to identify local and state policies that would favorably impact their rural community. Is an important role and is a great way to harness membership.
One example of how RCA gives a voice to those that have gone unheard is through the website OzarkByways.com, a regional community revitalization project that has brought together 15 North Arkansas communities, like Jasper and Leslie, allowing them to showcase their communities to bring prosperity to their areas. RCA helped them design a website, something they did not previously have, with the goal to bring people and business there.
So what we're starting this year is we're going to do the same type of project in southeast Arkansas, focusing on the four counties in that corner of the state, Chico, Ashley, Drew, and Deschaye, and do kind of the same model, tweaking it to what they need there. So we're excited about that. It's just in the beginning stages. So we see that being kind of a model to use throughout the state, where we're using community development type tools in the communities themselves, but we see that they need to join together as a region in promoting themselves and attracting business.
Carr, director of the Alliance, says another example of their work is a community theater project in Elaine, made possible by a grant from the Arkansas Arts Council. Most of their funding is in the form of grants, many from out-of-state foundations. So Carr says she's thrilled when funding comes through from Arkansas organizations like Winthrop Rockefeller, who has been supporting RCA for about 5 years. This grant is similar to those that they have given in the past.
They have given us a challenge to raise money on our own by the second year. So we are trying to raise $25,000 next year from local sources to augment that budget. And so they help us with a lot of things, technical assistance and linking us with their other partners and grantees so that we have broader reach.
The Rural Community Alliance has a pretty nifty website of its own. It's thenewrural.org.
This is Ozarks at Large. The inability of Congress to reach an agreement on ending the sequester means some programs in Arkansas could suffer if mandatory spending cuts in defense and domestic programs go into effect on March 1st. Malcolm Glover from our partner station KUAR in Little Rock attended an event in the capital city recently where various interest groups rallied together to encourage lawmakers to act before they say it's too late.
Chilly temperatures and freezing rain weren't going to stop Candace Collins from voicing her concerns about looming federal cuts. She and others gathered outside Martin Luther King Jr. Magnet Elementary School in Little Rock.
I'm telling you, but this is part of our work. I mean, no matter hot, 100-degree weather, snow, ice, rain.
Collins is the state coordinator for Americans for Tax Fairness, a group that wants to end the Bush-era tax cuts for the richest 2% of Americans. She says the government should take a balanced approach when addressing fiscal challenges so the poor and middle class won't always suffer.
The most damaging effects of the sequester are on the middle class, and we have selected an elementary school because we want people in Arkansas to be aware of what those cuts may do. So you can call our congressional delegation while they are here on recess. My opinion, they really should be up there working.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Budget cuts due to sequestration could negatively impact a variety of education programs. Donna Morey, the president of the Arkansas Education Association, says lawmakers in Washington need to be concerned about kids, not cuts. She says indiscriminate spending cuts could have a devastating impact on the next generation.
In Arkansas, over $50 million worth of cuts, potential job loss of at least 800, and over 72,000 children will be affected. That's Arkansas's part of the sequester on educational cuts.
That's right. Yeah. Kids, not cuts.
Yes. No,
right. Kids, not cuts.
Morey says grants to local education agencies, as well as funds for rural education, special education, preschool, Head Start, adult literacy, and other learning programs could all be threatened by pending cuts. Morey and Collins were a part of a coalition of education advocates and community activists who met with U.S. Senator Mark Pryor on Tuesday. Pryor said the sequester will probably happen and ultimately force Congress to act in a responsible manner. Candace Collins says Arkansans have to get active and call their congressmen and senators.
I'm kind of the opinion, too, that if the sequester kick in, Americans will see, and then there'll be an outcry from the people because it doesn't have to be that way. But they refuse to negotiate with our president. They can't seem to bring themselves up to the challenge of doing what's right.
Though she understands the concerns of some Republicans who say the sequester could help control the nation's ballooning deficit, Collins says she agrees with President Obama that cuts should be done in a balanced way that protects the programs the middle class relies on. In Little Rock, I'm Malcolm Glover.
Imagine the best celebrity party ever, where Martha Stewart asks Jake Tapper about his date with Monica Lewinsky. Hey, there's Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell talking about her thing for sloths. And in the corner, Bonnie Raitt flirting with Carl Castle. I'm Peter Sagal. Put on your slinkiest outfit and join us for this week's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the news quiz from NPR.
Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Saturday morning at 9 on KUAF 91.3 FM.
A new outdoor adventure park will soon open just west of Eureka Springs called Ozark Mountain Ziplines. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich takes us there.
Will Wall, outfitted with a climbing harness, stands far off in the distance, high on a freshly constructed wooden platform perched above a steep valley. He clips his harness strap, fixed with a wheel pulley onto a half-inch thick cable, leans back, steps off, and glides through the air. Robert Nickel, owner and operator of Ozark Mountain Ziplines, provides play-by-play.
Okay. All right.
So Will is coming across our longest cable on the small course. It's about 300 feet long, about 50 feet high. He's riding in, bringing it to a stop. Perfect, right on the platform.
A half dozen more platforms strategically scattered over 30 acres of twisting, rugged valley connected by a spiderweb of cables comprise Ozark Mountain Zipline Canopy Tour. Robert Nickel and park manager Will Wall, with help from a local carpenter, built this course in just over 6 weeks. Nickel builds ziplines around the world under the auspices of his company, Universal Zipline Technology, LLC.
I got the idea from watching a documentary and reading a magazine article about Donald Perry. He was a researcher, biologist researcher in Costa Rica, and he strung ropes in the aerial part of the canopy to access the trees, the bugs, the flowers that grew there, and the snakes that hang out there. So I got the idea from reading his article. I thought, you know, people would pay to come do this. If you strung some cables through the trees, that would be a little bit safer and a lot of fun and not so much work, because what he was doing was work. The way he did it, traversing through the trees, was more work than fun. So I decided to string some cables up in Costa Rica back in 1990, and it worked out really well.
Nickel's constructed 10 zipline canopy courses in Ecuador, Costa Rica, North Carolina, his home state, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Branson, Missouri. He and his family settled in Nixon, Missouri several years ago.
I operate one near Branson called Zipline USA, and I am a co-owner of one in northern Missouri near Herman called Eco Zipline Tours. And I have others, but those are the closest ones to here.
And zipline attractions can be really profitable depending upon the outfront costs and location and how they're staged. A single ticket to this course, for example, runs around $90 with group rates available. But Nickel, who appears to be the standard bearer, says his courses are not only super safe, they're really green.
We also try extremely hard to build a course that leaves no footprint. When we build a course, we do all of it by hand. We don't use heavy equipment. We haul everything through the jungle or the woods, drag the cable by hand, pull it up by hand, tension it by hand, and so we don't leave a big footprint on the woods or the jungle.
Nickel looked at a dozen properties, but settled on this 30-acre parcel located off Pivot Rock Road, just beyond Eureka's residential district.
We were looking for a property that had ridge lines and good rock formations and some, you know, scenic beauty, but also accessibility is important. You can go way out from town and find great property, but you might not be able to get your people there, and they might not want an hour and a half bus ride. So we found this one. It was close into town. It was just outside the city limits, but close enough to have our office in the city limits so we could generate some tax revenue for the city and offer jobs for local people. It's important to me when I look for a location to find an area that needs revitalization. And I think Eureka Springs is going through a transition. And we turned down offers at Petit Jean State Park area. We turned down offers near Hot Springs and offers near Little Rock to come to Eureka Springs. And I feel like it was a good decision. I know the town is going to work well with us. The people are going to work well with us. And I think it's going to be a good partnership.
The site did pose some challenges.
Well, one of the biggest ones was this side has a road on it. The far side doesn't have any roads. I had to build a small road to access it from the ground, but there are 45-foot high rock cliffs. We have platforms that are built extending out off those cliffs, cantilevering out off of trees. We had to actually put all the lumber on a cable on two pulleys, then ride the lumber 2,000 feet across the gorge, and then build that on the side of a cliff. And every bit of materials that we used over there, we had to transport on the cable.
That was
a lot of fun. Wet cables, bad handbrakes, and 2,000 pounds of lumber. It's hard to stop at 50 miles an hour. So it was an exciting trip.
Subsistence cultures in Tibet and China still use ropes and pulleys in some places to convey people, supplies, and livestock across deep rivers and gorges. But riders on the new Ozark Mountain zip lines must comply with certain rules, says Will Wall. He and his wife Kendra, recently relocated here from the Blue Ridge Mountains of Appalachia, are going to be managing this operation. For example, no babies are allowed on the course.
And three and over, We generally like to keep our clients, you know, under, there's a 250 pound weight limit, and it's not because the cables won't hold them or anything's going to give. It's just because of they come in too fast and too hot, and it's a safety hazard.
And physically challenged adults and children with special needs are also welcome, owner Robert Nickel.
Of course, they have to ride with a guide. They can't go with their parents. They have to ride with a professionally trained and certified guide. But when they're on that cable, they're free and zipping just like everybody else with a guide behind them to do the braking, obviously, because we don't want anybody splatting into the trees. But It is fun for everyone. And there's really very, very few people that would be left out of this particular course because there's very little hiking. There's very little to no climbing. So really just about anybody can do it.
Bucket listers, honeymooners, church groups are invited. School classes can come take the canopy tour for science credit.
We have the course that we're looking at. You guys can't see it, but this is our child-friendly course. It's five low cables. They're not as quite as high and as long as and intimidating as our five big cables, but this is where we would do field trips and where kids can comfortably come and do trips from age three and up, from preschool all the way through high school, and get a lesson in botany. We know, you know, our guides are very knowledgeable about the trees, the plants, indigenous, and some that we will plant that are not indigenous. We're going to do a lot of landscaping around here and add some rhododendron. Since we're from North Carolina, the best state in the world for rhododendron, we're going to plant some rhododendron here and hope that we can get it to grow because
some
it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And some ground covers.
Patrons may see eagles in the valleys, hawks, foxes, lots of deer, and lots of squirrels, and occasionally wild hogs, which forage up Lake Leatherwood City Park, just down the mountain. The Walls will be on site 7 days a week, running canopy tours from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., weather permitting.
How many on staff? Well, probably we hope to have 6 to 8 guides and a bus driver or two.
A shuttle driver, because no one's allowed to drive onto the park. Patrons register and are outfitted at the main office in Eureka Springs.
It's wonderful. People will come into the office and they will hear by us by website, Facebook, or word of mouth, but they'll come into the office, sign waivers, get harnessed up, and then we bus them out here on a shuttle bus and drop them off. And the canopy tour from A to Z will run approximately an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Patrons are fitted with protective helmets and harnesses. Riders must wear sturdy shoes that won't fall off midair and comfortable clothing. No hanging jewelry, no cameras or phones allowed on the zip lines, but platform paparazzi are permitted to get all those cool action shots. Owner Robert Nickel.
And you do have a handbrake, so you do control your speed a little bit and your stopping. The guide would give you a signal when it's time to put your brakes on, and the brake is very easy, very comfortable, it doesn't jerk you. It's a very smooth brake, and you bring yourself to a stop.
Much like a bicycle brake, Robert Nickel says, and no one can get stuck out on a zip line. It's a gravity glide traversing from platform to platform. Two guides will be on hand for each group tour to make sure you are safely harnessed and clipped in and safely landed.
And to deliver each person one at a time for safety. We're big on safety.
As many as 150 patrons per day. Zip lines are considered an amusement ride. The Arkansas Department of Labor regulates conventional amusement rides and attractions, but no specific state regs exist for zip lines. According to email correspondence for this story with Denise Oxley, General Counsel, for now, the department refers to the 2004 American Society for Testing and Material Amusement Park Standards, which is undergoing revision to include zip lines. That will take time. So the State Department of Labor has proposed adopting the National Association of Challenge Course Technology and Canopy Zipline Tour Standards. Once it goes through public comment, the new rule will be filed with the Secretary of State and codified by early summer. Robert Nickel says he routinely uses those standards to construct his zipline parks anyway, so expects to be open by March 1st.
That will depend on the state. The state has to come out and inspect first, and then they will commission when we're ready to open. And when all those hurdles are crossed and jumped, then we'll be ready to open.
Tour reservations are already coming in. 9 other amusement fixed ziplines operate in Arkansas in places like Hot Springs, Mountain View, and 2 in Newton County near Ponca. According to State Department of Labor records provided for this story, only one accident has occurred in 2012 at a zipline operation after a 7-year-old boy slipped out of his harness and fell 7 feet, injuring his leg. This course has a total of 10 zip lines, some suspended in tree platforms, and is divided into a child-friendly course near the top of the valley and an adult course below. We hiked to the longest course, 2,000 feet long, 300 feet high, to watch snowboarder and cliff jumper Will Wall demonstrate.
Here he goes.
So he's been zipping for quite a while now. He's about halfway. He's about at the halfway point now. Still going, almost out of sight. Can barely still hear him. He's about 100 feet from the end now. He's slowing down. He's landing safely on the other side, and we can barely see him from right here.
The course plays out in the bottom of the valley, where a waiting shuttle bus will bring riders back up and to their vehicles in town. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
To learn more, visit ziplineeurekasprings.com. Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks at Large, artist Shea Hembree. He was born in a small town in Arkansas, now lives in New Jersey. He just recently showed in New York City. Sunday afternoon, he will be at the Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art for a discussion. You can also check him out on TED Talks, a very popular TED Talks there. That's coming up, as is a preview of Gospel Fest and our weekly visit with Jody Beznoska from Walton Art Center. Fayetteville Public Library will host a book talk and signing with former University of Arkansas track and field coach John McDonald. It takes place March 7th at 6:30 p.m. in the Walker Community Room. Coach McDonald will discuss his new biography, co-authored by Andrew Maloney. It's titled John McDonald, the Most Successful Coach in NCAA History. The event is free and open to the public. Yesterday, Coach McDonald was in this very studio.
I saw him.
And we talked about the book. That'll be on next week. A fantastic visit with him, and it's a pretty good book as well. And a Kickstarter launch event for Valley End Film featuring stand-up comedian Kevin Flynn is set for February 28th, which is a week from today.
It is.
It'll begin at 6 p.m. at the York Bowl on Dixon Street in Fayetteville. This event will also include a sampling of pies from the original Valley End Cafe pie makers and music. For tickets or more information, valleyinfilm.eventbrite.com. Bright, B-R-I-T-E.
So is this about the Valley Inn in Hinesville? Do you know?
I don't know. Perhaps.
Which I think is closed
yes,
now.
Yes, it is.
But
it was the last time I drove by, and it made me sad.
I know.
Although, I had to admit, a couple times I was driving by, and, you know, Hinesville's population 89?
I remember it used to be 69.
Yeah, yeah, it's very small. So you and I are both here, and most of our colleagues are in the building at this moment. A little bit surprising. Thought we were going to get some ice and snow. I guess
I know.
We got hail early this morning.
I know. With the thunder sleet, I think is what people are kind of calling it.
Right. But I don't think it was at my house, at least on Mount Sequoia, I don't think we even got sleet. I think it was just hail and then rain.
Yeah.
But dodged a bullet. Now, that's in Washington County. Now, I know that most schools in the Arkansas River Valley and many in Madison, mm-hmm. if not all in Madison and Newton County, they closed. I think they had more
right.
ice. All right. Well, I'm, for one, happy that we have our power.
Me too.
It is Thursday, February 21st, 2013. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
With us is Becca Martin Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
I know you all have done this story, but I feel compelled to remind people.
Okay.
Mike Shirkey's concert is tonight.
Yes. Let me tell you that a week out, not only was it sold out, there was a waiting list of beyond 40 people. So
wow.
if you don't have your ticket, usually we tell you, no, call, find out. You just may be out of luck.
But you could still contribute, which would be lovely.
Yes, absolutely.
You've heard the story about what happened to Mike. You know, Mike did the music shows for years.
Still does. Yes.
But on Block Avenue.
Right.
And he had to move out of the Block Avenue house. He was ill.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody broke into his house, stole a bunch of a muzzle loader and a crossbow.
Stuff he used for hunting.
And his handmade dulcimer, because it was in a bag that looked like a gun bag.
Right.
He said it was like losing, like something had been ripped off your body.
Yeah.
And so Emily Cates and some really great musicians still on the Hill, outside the lines, Trout Fishing in America, the Mike Sumler Trio are performing.
This is why it sold out
in 15
well
minutes,
in advance.
Yeah. So you can call Mike.
Yes.
The money is going to go, Bayard Blaine from Three Penny Acres, going to make him a new dulcimer.
Right.
It will be a different dulcimer.
Yes.
Because you
still
cannot.
A handmade.
Yes. And by Bayard, who is.
Amazing.
Yes.
The saddest thing was him saying, was Mike saying, I'll never know what happened to the other one.
Yeah, I mean.
It's like losing a dog that never.
Right.
And you never know what exactly.
Yeah.
If you cannot get into the show tonight and you would like to help, you can email Mike at mshirky@sbcglobal.net. You could also call him at 409-1224 to see if they can fold you up somewhere and stuff you in a corner.
Okay.
Also tonight, the Harlem Ambassadors are in Northwest Arkansas
basketball.
For a basketball show. 7 o'clock at Bentonville High School. Tickets are $8 to $10 in advance, $2 more at the door. Proceeds benefit the Northwest Arkansas Fencing Foundation.
And we're talking foils, épées, not...
Correct.
Keeping cattle in.
Correct. And we're talking basketball, not, I don't know, Bill Clinton talking about Harlem.
Right.
$8 to $10.
Much in the style of the perhaps better known Globetrotters.
Harlem Globetrotters.
But some of the same sort of basketball trickery will be on display.
And that will make you feel better if you can't get into the show at the Fayetteville Underground.
Exactly.
Tickets are 685-6695.
All right.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin-Brown is features editor with Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
There's heated debate over exempting birth control from health coverage. The issue may even reach the Supreme Court. But this is hardly the only such exemption that's been hammered out in the U.S. I'm Jennifer Ludden. From vaccines to school attendance to photo IDs, who gets a religious exemption and why? Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation, just ahead at 1 o'clock here on KUAF 91.3 FM.
There are many ways you can learn about the wildly innovative world of Shay Hembree, an Arkansas-born artist now living in New Jersey. He has his own website, shayhembree.com. His TED Talk has been viewed almost 500,000 times. He has three works currently on exhibit at 21C in downtown Bentonville, and Sunday afternoon at 3, he'll speak at Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art. Let's go back to his enormously popular TED Talk. In the 16 and a half minutes he talks about his rural Arkansas upbringing, his philosophy on developing an artistic vision that he can describe to his grandmother in 5 minutes, and the large art show he developed called Seek, a biennial exhibit open to 100 artists from around the world.
So I started thinking about, okay, how am I going to do this biennial? How am I going to travel the world and find these artists? And then I realized one day, you know, there's an easier solution to this. I'm just going to make the whole thing myself. And so this is what I did. I thought, okay, a biennial needs artists. You know, I'm going to do an international biennial. I need artists from all around the world. So what I did was I invented 100 artists from around the world. I figured out their bios, their passions in life, and their art styles, and I started making their work.
Not only did he create the 100 artists included in the exhibit and their work, he invented two fictional curators to select the pieces. He also created six other fictional artists who were passed over and not included in the exhibit. Shay Hembree now lives in rural New Jersey, and last week I reached him there. He told me one of the liberating aspects of creating all the work over a two-year period for the exhibit was to work in a wide assortment of styles and mediums.
Like making hats, and normally we get to make hats in my studio work, and lots of just materials that I never get to use because I tend to do a certain type of sculpture and painting. So it was really, really fun to use all the techniques I've learned over the years.
Shay's childhood was spent in Hickory Grove. Not the Hickory Grove, Arkansas that's in Yale County, but the even smaller one in Jackson County, north of Newport. It was an isolated place, about an hour, he says, from the nearest movie theater. His contemporaries tell him he had an 18th century adolescence since he made his own ammunition and his family grew their own food. His artistic vision also became focused then, even if he didn't know it at the time. Much of his work is based in nature, influenced by his home and his previous paying jobs.
Well, when I was a kid, I was always obsessed with birds, and I was a big, you know, duck hunter, dove hunter, all those things. And then as a teenager, I quit hunting because I just fell in love with birds too much. And then I started breeding birds and built aviaries, and I had a license with the Department of Interior, and I sold to zoos. And so I had my own breeding program and for years, and I was planning when I went to the university to become an ornithologist, and I wanted to go to Cornell and study in their ornithology department. And a painting class my freshman year derailed that, but I ended up at Cornell years later doing a master's in fine art and doing it all, working in the ornithology lab, getting to go through the specimens and doing work related to birds and birds nesting.
Shea Hembry says his Sunday afternoon appearance at Crystal Bridges will be heavy on questions and answers from the audience. He loves to talk about his work with people, and even more, he loves to hear what people think. During a recent two-month exhibition of his work in New York City, he'd slip into the gallery and eavesdrop or initiate conversation.
I did that every day, and I would use. People would talk, and I would go up and say, "You know, that guy's a real jerk. This artist." And
would you really?
And try to see if they would defend me. And then it was so fun to do this game with the people, and see what they were going to say or what they liked, and them not have to. You know, if you're the artist, they're going to be nice. So it was really fun to get stuff out of them, and then. That was just great. You get a really true and honest response. And it's really nice when people try to defend you. They don't even know you and they're actually talking to you.
Would you ever drop the ruse?
Oh, yeah, I would totally. And then, yeah. But that's how you get a really good, honest response. And it was, it's always really great. And, kids are so great, and my family is so great. My family's always really honest, my sister brutally so. So it's always good.
If you attend Shea's talk Sunday afternoon, you'll also probably hear him discuss some of his latest work. He's again creating work under his own name. His latest is inspired by dark matter and the mysteries of space. And you might also get a few stories about his small-town experiences in Hickory Grove, Arkansas.
No longer do we get to vote at the seed plant. I always worked the polling booth, and it was me and wonderful 70-year-old ladies at the seed plant on election day. That felt like real true democracy.
Shea Hembry will be at Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art Sunday afternoon at 3. His website is sheahembry.com, and you can see his TED Talk about becoming 100 artists at TED.com. He talked to me from his home in New Jersey last week. The third annual Gospel Fest in Fort Smith is tomorrow night at the Arkansas Best Performing Arts Center in downtown Fort Smith. The concert begins at 7, and if the first two Gospel Fests are any indication, this one will have few, if any, empty seats. Proceeds benefit scholarships for students attending the University of Arkansas Fort Smith Academy of the Arts, and the executive director of the academy, Dr. Rosalie Walker Russell, says the preparations for tomorrow night have been made.
It seems to be a very popular event, and I'm excited. This year it's Friday night, February 22nd, and a couple of new things about this. It is downtown at the Arkansas Best Performing Arts Center, where the Fort Smith Symphony plays, that particular venue. Great venue. Great piano. We have the 9-foot Steinway down there. I'm kind of partial to that. And the neat part about it this year, one of the reasons we are at the Performing Arts Center is because we can have reserved seats. Mm. So all tickets are reserved. All tickets are sold through the UAFS box office.
And that is different.
That is different.
So that's the place to go to now.
Exactly. And people need to get their tickets, and you can get them online at uafs.edu. So we're providing both reserved seats and online sales. That's available this year, and that's all new. The concert time is 7 p.m. as usual, with our pre-concert music beginning at 6:30, and that's a men's gospel quartet doing Gaither, the best of Gaither Southern gospel music. So it's a wonderful event. We have all the great singers coming again, from Pam Camp to Brian Gary doing black gospel to everybody's favorite Barry Law. He's singing I Bowed on My Knees and Cried Holy, which is everybody's favorite. We have 10 to 12 13 area church choirs, a 225 voice choir,
wow,
coming up from Van Buren to Fort Smith to Alma to Lavaca to Greenwood. All of the different churches are coming. And it's a great night of Southern gospel, Black gospel, and timeless hymns. It's not a praise and worship night. It is strictly the old-time hymns, from Crown Him to Many Crowns to Blessed Assurance to It Is Well With My Soul. I'm playing an arrangement of It Is Well with the orchestra, with our live band. We're doing the Blessed Assurance with the choir. We have Dwayne Stamper and Robert White are two other pianists that are coming, and we're all three playing piano music mixed in with this. And then all these famous soloists, many other soloists are coming. And so it's a wonderful night for all of us on stage, because it's such a massive event of people on stage singing and performing. And so we're excited about it. And I would encourage people to get tickets early. That's not as large of a venue.
What is it, about 1,200 seats?
It's about 1,350.
Okay, 1,350.
Yes.
And the first two editions of Gospel Fest have sold out at larger venues,
right? Yes.
And some people would wait and do day of show tickets. And that's not advised this year.
I would not advise it. I mean, there will be tickets potentially available at the door. We're encouraging people who purchase tickets to return, you know, to turn in tickets if they purchase them and don't use them, so that there would be some available at the door. But, you know, we've sold to 1,700, 2,000 people, so we're expecting this to sell out. And again, we did this because it's a way to have reserved seats, and that's a really, you know, that's a great thing to offer your audience, is to know that they've got their seat when they get there.
We should mention proceeds help the Academy of the Arts.
They certainly do. All of the ticket sales for Gospel Fest, well, for everything that we do, you know, the money goes towards scholarships and all of the activities that fund the Academy of the Arts.
And the scholarships helping some young people who might not otherwise be able to afford.
That's correct. And we're up to 45 to 48% of our students, of over 400 students, receive some type of financial assistance.
Finally, at Gospel Fest, do some of these people have some of their own CDs for sale at the event?
You know, that's a good question. We have not done that at this point.
Because I know often I like, no matter what kind of music, I'll go and, I'd like to take some of that home.
That's something I need to check into. Now, I typically have my CDs available. Mm-hmm. My CDs are classical music, but I need to check into that, because some of these artists do have CDs out, and I'm sure there would be people who would love to have that.
Dr. Rosalie Walker is the Executive Director of the University of Arkansas Fort Smith Academy of the Arts. Tomorrow night's Gospel Fest helps fund scholarships for the Academy.
Be sure to call ahead to make sure there are tickets if you're planning to do walk-up, because the last 2 years, when it was in the bigger venue, it did sell out. The 8th Annual Highway 71 Classic Bike Ride is a fundraiser that supports the Bicycle Coalition of the Ozarks. It is scheduled to take place March 3rd, registration beginning at 8 a.m. at Greenhouse Grill in Fayetteville. The fully supported ride, and I think that means there are people there with sports drinks, water, mm-hmm. whatever, along the way. You have three options: 32-mile event on pavement, a 71-mile event on pavement, and then a 56-mile off-road route, mainly on dirt roads. You can pre-register as well. Go to bconwa.com. You can also call 200-1679. It says it's the Highway 71 Classic Bike Ride.
So you're going down old 71.
There's some hill. Yeah, well, going down, you're going up first. but I have some friends who do that quite often, and they say it's a great ride.
71 miles.
Yes. Well, right. Highway 71 Classic. So anyway, you could do that if you like.
All right. Sager Creek Art Center in Siloam Springs announces the production of In This House, a thought-provoking musical representative of the new musical theater genre. It's this weekend, February 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. It's the story of two couples brought together by a minor car accident and forced to spend New Year's Eve in an abandoned home. You can also check out Sager Creek Art Center on Facebook to find special deals at local restaurants and coffee shops on performance nights. To reserve tickets, 479-524-4000.
We've seen the lineup for Wakarusa, which kind of kicks off the music festival season for the spring and summer. We're waiting to hear who will be at the Amp throughout the summer and the early fall. If you look north, there is the Black Oak Amphitheater, which is in Lampy,
Missouri.
Right. And they have announced some of their acts for the year. It's Lampy's near Missouri, Branson.
Okay.
Next door, kind of. Their season, the Black Oak Amphitheater season, kicks off Memorial Day weekend. They will have Trace Adkins.
Country singer.
Right. Member of the Grand Ole Opry, I believe. He'll be there. Later, Tim McGraw.
Another. I mean, he's married to Faith Hill, right?
That is correct, yes. And later in the summer, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Journey, and folks like that. You can learn more at blackoakamp.com. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is Jody Beznoska. She is Vice President of Communications at Walton Arts Center. You braved the elements today.
Yeah, the roads were not bad.
Now, I should say, I guess in western and central Arkansas, we've got it far, but for at least Washington and most of Benton County, not nearly as bad as we thought it might have been.
No, I don't think. I mean, really, the roads weren't bad at all, and it seems to be raining. So at least, hopefully, you know, everybody's safe and all that.
When the thunder hail moved in about 5, you know, I looked at it and I kind of shook my head. And the temperature has been going up ever since then.
Yeah.
It was about 31 then and 35 by the time I got on the road. And
yeah, so we dodged another bullet.
And we did,
which
and
is
that's
a good
okay.
thing.
Yes,
it is. We are totally okay with
and
that.
And nothing was on the line tonight at Walton Arts Center. You didn't have anything scheduled
anyway.
But hair tomorrow.
Yes, but hair tomorrow. So the timing of this couldn't have been more perfect for us anyway. So yes, hair starts tomorrow. It's the first of 3 shows, 1 tomorrow night and 2 on Saturday. Tickets available for all 3 of those shows. If it's, you know, I'm looking out the window, it's gray, it's rainy, it's gross. Hair is perfect for this weather because it's not gray, rainy, or gross.
No.
It's bright and colorful and really fun, and it's got those great songs, Age of Aquarius, Good Morning Starshine. That musical made those songs popular. For some reason, I always thought it was the other way around, that was a jukebox musical made from music that somebody else had written.
No, but
that's
like,
not the way it was.
Bands like Fifth Dimension. Covered the songs and then had the hits.
Right. Yeah. Which is neat. You don't hear that very often. You know, that doesn't really happen now where a Broadway show will guide the popular music like that. So that's pretty cool. And you will get to dance with the cast if you go and you want to. They invite you up on stage at the very end. So that's going to be terrific fun. That's tomorrow and Saturday. And then, let's see, the UA Symphony has a concert next week.
That's right.
And then
Masterworks 3.
That's the UA Symphony.
UA Symphony. No,
yes.
Masterworks 3 for Sona is not until March 9th.
That's correct.
I apologize.
No problem.
Yes.
Dance Brazil for us will be on March 1st. That's the next show in our 10x10 series. So that's going to be one of those great 10x10 shows where we have the pre-show discussion and the post-show party and really low-price tickets, and that's going to be fun. That one is close to sold out, so get your tickets now if you want to go to Dance Brazil on March 1st. On March 2nd, Mary Chapin Carpenter and Sean Colvin.
Right.
And then the UA has a lot of concerts in March, actually. So if you're interested in hearing the Campus Band or the Wind Symphony or anything like that, check out our website because there's a lot going on for them. And then you have Sona Masterworks 3.
Right. March 9th.
March 9th.
Okay.
Yep. So that's their third sort of big concert that features, you know, great
traditional
classical,
the big
traditional
works.
Yeah. So that's March 9th. And then speaking of classical, we have James Galway on March 14th.
Just found out I'll be talking to him, and that'll be on the air sometime
next
week.
That's neat.
It is.
He's a legend.
Yes, he is.
He's a neat guy. And we just also learned that this show is the day before, well, we didn't learn this, but we just sort of discovered this, that this show is the day before St. Patrick's Day. funny how that
figured
works.
It out. Yes,
we figured that out. But he's going to be playing all kinds of Irish music, which will be really fun. And we're going to probably have a little Irish party in the lobby with special drinks.
Lobby will be decorated.
Everything will be decorated. And it looks like that's going to be actually, you know, we've been saying it's a classical concert, but it sounds like it's going to be really sort of entertaining and fun. You know, it's not just going to be very quiet and sober. So that's on the 14th, the day before St. Patrick's Day. I think that's two days before
March
St. Patrick's
17th
Day.
Is St. Patty's
so
Day.
So a couple days before.
Okay.
And then on the 15th, we'll have One Night of Queen, the Queen tribute band, obviously. And then on the 16th, we will have the last show in our Starlight Jazz series, Gregoire Marais's Quartet.
Harmonica.
Yeah.
He's a master of the harmonica.
I know. That's so neat.
Yeah.
That's going to be really fun. So that's the 16th.
He channels, at least on his latest CD, he sort of channels Stevie Wonder at times.
Really?
The early Motown sort of. Kind of.
Ah.
There's, pays homage.
Homage.
Help me out. You've been to
it could
France.
Be.
Oh.
Yeah. It's homage if you have been to France recently. So that's a busy March. Looking ahead to the end of March, Garrison Keillor will be on the 28th of March. Again, tickets going fast for that one, so don't wait on that one. And then let's just look ahead to the Monterey Jazz Festival. in April.
Yeah. That's going to be big.
That's going to be big.
That's in the big room.
Yep. Big hall with huge, you know, major people from the jazz world. And then also Anything Goes, our next big Broadway show, April 9th through the 14th. Beautiful sort of throwback musical full of beautiful dancing, tap dancing, and Cole Porter.
There you go.
So that one, you can't really go wrong with that one. But, yeah, lots going on.
And I know I've asked you this the last 2 or 3 weeks, but we're going to start hearing about next year, too. Not that we want this year to end.
We are going to start hearing about next year. If you're a Walton Arts Center Broadway subscriber, you will start hearing probably within a week or so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, and yeah, we can... Maybe next week we can talk a little bit about what's coming on next year's Broadway.
Yeah, thank you, Jody. How can people find out more?
443-5600 or waltonartscenter.org, or come on down to the box office and say hello and buy some tickets.
Thanks, Jody.
Thanks.
I'm Ophira Eisenberg, host of Ask Me Another. Being a movie star sounds fun, but it's not always limos and red carpets. Just ask Steve Guttenberg.
Oy vey, Dancing with the Stars.
Oy vey.
God bless them. I'm telling you, a lot of dancing. Oy.
The star of Cocoon and Three Men and a Baby, Steve Guttenberg, next time on Ask Me Another, NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia. Game on.
Ask Me Another, Saturday mornings at 11 on KUAF 91.3 FM.
KUAF is supported by Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art, featuring the Great Hall Lecture Series with artist Shay Hembree. We just heard from him.
Yes, we did.
It is this Sunday, February 24th, from 3 to 5 p.m. Hembree will share his unique perspective on art making and inventing yourself as an artist on a global scale. Tickets and more information available online at crystalbridges.org.
KUAF is supported by Aurora Technologies, offering digital signage and menu boards for businesses and organizations of all sizes. Televisions or projectors can display your message, graphics, animated images, or videos at desired locations. More information is available at auroratechnologies.net.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, and South Leadhill.
We don't have time now, but I can tell you a story about South Leadhill and why it's South Leadhill.
Okay.
It involves with the overnight theft of a post office.
An overnight theft
yes,
of a post
does.
Office.
Yes,
okay.
It does.
All right.
Ticket business to take care of. First of all, yesterday I asked a question for 2 free tickets to Friday night's performance of Hair at Walton Arts Center. Very popular. A lot of people emailed in with the proper answer, all of the proper answers put into the ceramic cow, a winner picked at random. The question again... Because we're talking about hair, I said that the most famous haircut of the 20th century was when Elvis had his then-considered long hair shaved as he was drafted in the Army. The very famous pictures were on Life magazine. His young female followers wept because those curly black locks were being shaved off. My question was, where did that famous or infamous, depending on your point of view, haircut take place? Almost everybody, but not quite everybody, had the right answer.
Okay.
Do you know where?
I do because I saw answers, and it's Fort Chaffee, right?
Fort Chaffee, Fort
and it's
Smith.
The only fort that I really know in Arkansas anyway. So
many of you got it right. Gracie Martin, however, has her name picked out. Gracie, who quoted when I saw that she was the random one, I went to her entry. She quoted a lyric from Hair. So your tickets will be available at Will Call at Walton Arts Center tomorrow. Tomorrow night. Congratulations.
Enjoy the show.
Now, more tickets to give away quickly. Soup Sunday is Sunday in Springdale. At the Northwest Arkansas Convention Center, I have 3 packages of tickets that are 2 adult and 2 children. Okay? Question is, it was on this date in 1947 that the Polaroid instant camera was first introduced.
1947?
Yes.
Wow.
The question is, that first one, how long did it take for the image to show up? The picture would come out. How many in seconds? I'll tell you. How many seconds did it take, according to Polaroid, before you would see the full image ready to be viewed in 1947. Now, it got shorter as time went on, but this is the first one, 47. How many seconds? Closest to the pin, in other words, and if everyone gets it exactly right, then we'll pull a random out. This is for Soup Sunday, Sunday afternoon from 4 until 7 at the Northwest Arkansas Convention Center in Springdale. Okay? Ozarksatlarge@gmail.com. Ozarksatlarge@gmail.com if you have a guess or an answer. That's a lot of ticket information. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
Antoinette Grajeda will be here with me tomorrow.
Right. Brand new show. I'm here now.